Time now for the sunny side of sports with the mighty Douglas Mpuga sitting in for Sunny. Hello, Douglas.
Hello, Yahayas.
So what's on the menu today?
Well, Yahayas, we have a lot of news in athletics and indeed football. Thanks very much, Yahayas.
Let's begin with athletics. The All-Russian Athletics Federation has chosen not to contest sanction and will instead cooperate with the IAAF in hope of being reinstated for Rio 2016. Russia was fully suspended from World Athletics for accepting an indefinite ban from the sport. The All-Russian Athletics Federation chose not to contest such a sanction at what would have been a hearing into the matter next month. Russia has already been provisionally suspended by the International Association of Athletics Federations over a sport's worst drug scandal. Faced with a fully-fledged ban that would see Russian athletes kicked out of next year's World Indoor Championships, the Russian Federation decided to cooperate with the IAAF in the hope of regaining membership of the IAAF in time for the Olympics. The IAAF said in a statement issued during its council meeting in Monaco that the Russian Federation confirmed they understood that council would only accept their reinstatement as an IAAF member following the recommendation of the International Federation's inspection team, who will decide if the verification criteria have been fulfilled. The IAAF was expected to announce later today what Russia would have to do in order to regain membership, but the governing body has already confirmed the earliest it could do so would be after March's World Indoors in Portland. Russia was provisionally suspended almost 2 weeks ago at an emergency IAAF council meeting after being found guilty of state-sponsored doping that sabotaged a London 2012 by an independent World Anti-Doping Agency commission. In another development, US's Ashton Eaton and Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba were named the male and female IAAF World Athletes of the Year for 2015 on Thursday. Both athletes set world records during 2015, Eaton in decathlon and Dibaba in the 1500 meters, and won gold medals in these events at the IAAF World Championships Beijing 2015. For more on this, let's go to Daybreak Africa's Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Hello, Mark.
Ethiopian Genzebe Dibaba is the 2015 World Female Athlete of the Year. The IAAF revealed in Monaco on Thursday. Dibaba set a world indoor 5,000-meter record of 14 minutes and 18.86 seconds in Stockholm, Sweden. She went on to establish a new outdoor 1,500-meter world record of 3 minutes and 50.07 seconds in Monaco. Dibaba crowned the year with a gold medal in 1,500 meters at the World Athletic Championships in Beijing, China. Meanwhile, Ethiopia's Almaz Ayana was presented with the IAAF Golden Shoe Award presented by Adidas. The award is for the most outstanding performance at the World Athletics Championships in Beijing, where she won the 5,000 meters in 14 minutes and 26.33 seconds ahead of Genzebe Dibaba. Still in Monaco, Kenya's Olympic and World Championship 3,000 meter steeplechase champion Ezekiel Kemboi is one of six newly appointed IAAF Athletes Commission members. The commission consists of 18 members, 12 elected by their peers, and 6 appointed by the IAAF. Turning to football, Somalia challenged Rwanda before defending champions Kenya tackled Zanzibar at the Council of Eastern Central Africa Football Association's SECAFA Senior Challenge Cup in Awasa, some 270 kilometers south of the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, today, Friday. Elsewhere, South Sudan engaged guest side Malawi as Djibouti faced Sudan in Bahir Dar, some 270 kilometers north of Addis Ababa. Tomorrow, Saturday, Uganda play Burundi as Tanzania mainland engage hosts Ethiopia in Awasa. Meanwhile, South Africa challenge hosts Senegal before Zambia face Tunisia in Group A action at the start of the Under-23 Africa Cup of Nations in the capital Dakar tomorrow Saturday. On Sunday, attention shifts to Group B, where the showdown between perennial rivals Algeria and Egypt will give way to the encounter between Mali and Nigeria. In Tunisia, the curtains come down on the Orange African Confederations Cup when Tunisia's Etoile du Sahel hosts South Africa's Orlando Pirates in the return leg of the final on Sunday. They drew 1-1 in the first leg last week. Finally, the Africa Women's Club Basketball Championship gets underway in Luanda, Angola, today, Friday. Angola's Interclub are defending champions.
Mark Ouma reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Thanks, Mark.
And in football, there has been changes made in scheduling of two Africa Premier Club Championships. My colleague Sunny Young caught up with our football guru, David Legg, for details on these changes.
David, let's turn to Africa's two premier club competitions, the Champions League and Confederation Cup tournaments. Some big news regarding scheduling. Can you give us some details?
That's right, Sonny. For the first time ever since these competitions began in 1964, in the case of the Champions League, a little bit later for the Confederation Cup, midweek matches are going to be staged. And the obvious reason for this is fixture congestion. In the second qualifying round, Sonny, the second legs will be played on April 19 and 20, 2016, and that's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Now, there has been matches before in midweek, but only in emergencies when a game was postponed because of weather or maybe violence or some other reason like that. But there's never been scheduled midweek matches. And then when you get to the group stage, match days 2, 4, and 6, all have matches that are going to be played on Tuesday and Wednesday. And that's a sign, Sonny, of an ever-expanding CAF fixture list. If you think about it, the CAF Under-23 Championship, which doubles up as the qualifiers for the Olympics, that's only going to finish in mid-December. And then come mid-January, we're going to have the kickoff in Rwanda of the CHAN, which is the African Nations Championship for home-based players. So essentially, there's just a four-week break. And I wouldn't be surprised, Sonny, if that four-week break decreases over time as well. The danger with these midweek matches, as we saw recently with the World Cup, is it can quite severely affect attendances. Some of the crowds were really disappointing for the World Cup matches. And I guess one of the obvious reasons is the fact that people are at work. They just, you know, you kind of go and tell the boss, sorry, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm off now to watch my favorite club playing in the CAF Champions League. I can just imagine what the reply from the boss will be. Jobs, Sonny, are scarce and they're precious in Africa, and you cannot be taking time off just to go and support your team. And the last thing we need for these African club matches is sort of virtually empty stadiums. It just doesn't do anything for the atmosphere. But I guess CAF have just run out of dates.
And speaking of dates, David, we now know the dates for the World Cup draw for Africa, in which 20 teams will be divided into five groups of four each. Break out your calendar for us, David.
Yes, Sonny, it's June the 24th, so there's it's a long wait till we're going to have this draw. It's going to be held at the CAF headquarters in Cairo. And just a reminder of those 20 teams that have qualified in alphabetical order. You've got Algeria, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Cape Verde. You've got Congo, Brazzaville, Cote d'Ivoire, Egypt, Gabon, Ghana, Guinea, Libya, Mali, Morocco, Nigeria, South Africa, Uganda. You've got the Democratic Republic of Congo, Senegal, Tunisia, and Zambia. And just a reminder to all our Voice of America listeners, you've got those 20 countries, probably, Sonny, on the basis of the FIFA rankings, although that has not been officially confirmed, will be put into four pots. And from those four pots, one team will be pulled out from each. So you'll have five groups of four. Each country will play its three opponents at home and away. So it's a total of six matches. And the five group winners, they are the five countries that will represent Africa at the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Now, it's going to be quite a drawn-out process because if you look at the match days, there'll be one in October 2016 and one in November 2016, and then on to 2017. You'll have one in August, September, October, and November. And when you consider, Sonny, that a couple of months ago it all began with those first-round qualifiers, jeepers, that's it's quite a drawn-out process. And, of course, form can change over time. And the other interesting thing about the draw is being held in June, that means that those two rounds of Cup of Nations matches next March, they'll be held over a period of 9 days, they now become crucial in terms of the rankings. So let's use South Africa as an example. At the moment, they would be in the bottom pot. They would be amongst the lowest seeds and at the greatest risk of getting a very difficult draw. I mean, I looked at a worst-case scenario for South Africa. I mean, they could be drawn with the likes of Ivory Coast, Tunisia, and Nigeria. I don't think that's a draw that the South Africans particularly want. But now they're going to play Cameroon home and away in March. If, and it's a big if, they were to win those two matches, there's a chance, Sonny, they could sneak up to the third pot, and that would certainly boost their chances of getting a good draw. Some countries, you know, your Ivory Coast, your Ghanas, etc., they don't really mind. They feel they're strong enough to qualify no matter who they meet. But for other countries, South Africa definitely included, the luck of the draw, I believe, is going to be absolutely critical as to their chances of making it to Russia or not. The big date, though, Sonny, June 24 in Cairo, that's when the draw will be made, and then all the debates and discussions begin as to who's likely to represent Africa in Russia.
That was our football guru, David Legg, in Johannesburg, South Africa. He spoke with my colleague, Sunny Young. And that conversation will bring us to the end of this edition of the Sunny Side of Sport. Sam Douglas Impuga. Sunny will be back on Monday. Now back to your highest.
Thank you, Douglas. And listen to the Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday at 16:31 UTC and 18:31 UTC. And on Friday, Sunny has an expanded half-hour edition of the Sunny Side of Sports at 17:30 UTC right here on The Voice of America. Coming up, children being forced to marry in immigrant communities in the United States. And next, the latest venture of a Kenyan gaming and entertainment company. But first, some music. Here is Mr.